Our first reading today comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when it went to find its rest. The Lord appeared to him long ago, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you out with kindness. Then to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. See how great a love the Father has given us, that we would be called children of God, and in fact, we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Then again to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Then from the book of Mark, chapter 12. Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The word of God for the people of God. Okay, if y'all didn't guess by, getting ahead of myself. If y'all didn't guess by the scripture, we're going to be talking about love today. Everybody remember the Beatles? Okay, you know, some of y'all do. I think most everybody here members of Beatles. Had a son this morning that did not. In 1967, I think, the Beatles sang this song. Anybody remember the name of that song? Huh? Love is all you need. Now, you think that's right? Huh? I mean, we need love, but what else? We need food. We need water. We know what happens if you don't drink enough water. The electrolytes go out and you get wacky. You need food. You need water. You need shelter. You know, but we do need love. And scripture tells us that God is love, and we see that in and through his Son. You know, Christ Jesus, our Savior. We are created in God's image, you know, and in that image, we are created to receive God's love. We are created to love God back, and we are created to reflect God's love to the people around us. God created everything, including us. He looked at it, you know, looked at everything, and what did he say? It's good, but not only good, it's very good. But it didn't take long to what happened. Things turned bad. When God created us, he gave us a soul. He created us with the ability to reason, you know, to think, to make decisions. Decisions not just by instinct, but, you know, to reason things out, you know, to think about things, you know, with the ability to either turn to God, you know, and the things of God, love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, or what? Turn away from God, you know, and not give a hoot about the things of God, you know, or about, you know, the people around us. You know, and what is that? It's free will. You know, to either turn to God or turn away from God, you know, and reject God. But I really believe, you know, being created in God's image, that, you know, God wants us to what? To love him, to receive his love, to love him back, but to love each other, to love the people around us also. You know, and thinking about this, why did God create man? Huh? What? You know, if you think about it, if he had just stopped with animals and just said, okay, this is good, you know, cut my losses here, you know, he would have saved himself a whole lot of trouble, you know, if he had just stopped with animals. But thinking about this, why do people have kids? Huh? You know, I know some people have them, you know, by accident. You know, accidents waiting to happen. You know, some people have them for tax deduction. You know, some people have them so they can get more money out of Social Security. You know, some people have them, you know, they would need another farmhand, you know, help with chores. You know, so they have them just to help out around the house, or help out with the farm. You know, but for some of us, you know, for most people, it's just something in here. It's just something in here, you know, to be co-creator with God. You know, to have that little human to give our love away, you know, for that little human to receive our love, you know, and then to love us back, you know, in return. That we're co-creators with human, with God. And anyone that has kids knows that we love them instantly. You know, I mean, as soon as you get the news, we're pregnant. You know, and you ever notice that? You know, from the men, you know, it's always, we're pregnant. You know, it's, yeah, I'm pregnant with you, darling. You know, but soon as we get that, we love them. Instantaneously, you know, we love those kids, you know, even before they're born, even when they're too young to respond, you know, we love them, you know, and what do we get, you know, for our love? You know, you think about this, we have a tiny human that totally depends on you for their well-being. You bathe them, you know, you clothe them, you feed them, you do everything for them, you know. And you love them unconditionally. And what do we get in return for that love? We have to change dirty diapers. We get thrown up on. You know, we get kept up all night. But still what? We love them unconditionally. Does that kind of love that make you think anything about God's love for you? To love unconditionally. You know, and as kids grow, sometimes it doesn't get any better. You know, at times, you know, they may reject our love. They may not want our love. But one thing I found, one thing they'll never reject, money. No matter what, they'll take you money, no matter how they feel. You know, but, you know, it's, you know, they... Kids may do things that we may not approve of, but still, you know, I always tell my kids, no matter what, you know, we will always love you, you know. And is that why, you know, Jesus called God Father as a parent? No matter what we do, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. That his unconditional love for us. The book of Hosea. When Israel was a youth, I loved him. I called my son out of Egypt. The more they called him, the more they went away from him. They kept sacrificing to the Baals, burning incense to idols. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I pulled him along with cords of a man, with ropes of love. And I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws. I bent down and fed them. that God loves you. God loves the world as a parent. Now, in Scripture, there's different words used for love. You know, there's one word that means love like a friend, you know, a friendship kind of love. There's another word used for love that means, you know, like caring, to come and stand alongside you. Now, in the passage from Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to him long ago saying, I have loved you. And that first word, loved you, is kind of a friendship kind of love, with an everlasting love. That's the kind of love to come and stand beside you. I have loved you with an everlasting love to stand beside you always. Therefore, I have drawn you out with kindness. That God loves each and every one of us. Different kinds of love, but love. God's love for you. God's love for the world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And then from the book of Romans. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What kind of love is that? That while we were still sinners, he gave his son for us. That God wants you to know this. If at any time in your life you do not feel loved, you think that nobody cares, nobody gives a you know what, God cares. God loves you. That there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And Paul, in the book of Ephesians, said a prayer. He said for the church at Ephesus, and I say this prayer for us all the time, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you may be rooted and grounded in what? In love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the goodness and fullness of God. To know that love. Now, when somebody does something for you that is beyond belief, somebody does something, how do you respond? Huh? Thank you. Two words, easy. Thank you. So shouldn't we at least be telling what? God, what? Thank you. The beginning, and this is just the very beginning, the minuscule prayer life. 5 times a day. As soon as you wake up, open your eyes. Maybe even before you open your eyes, but you know you're awake. Thank you, God. Before breakfast, thank you, God. Before lunch, thank you, God. Before dinner, supper, thank you, God. Then before you go to bed, thank you, Father, Son, Spirit. Thank you for getting me through the day. Just thank you. Thank you for the air we breathe, the ground we stand on. Thank you for life itself. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me, for us, for the world. Thank you, God. And that is just the beginning of a very minuscule prayer life. In the book of Peter, it tells us, once there were no people, but now you are God's people. Once we were nobody, but then God sent his son into the world. And now we are God's people. Part of that commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as what? Love as you love yourself. So first thing you have to do is love yourself. Now, this is not some kind of narcissistic kind of love. You know, they're thinking that the world revolves around you, that the world owes you something. This is the kind of love that comes from knowing you are a person of worth. That know you are a person of value. That God loves you so much that he what? He died for you. So we receive that love. We give that love back to God. We love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we what? We love our neighbor as ourselves. The old saying, To be a friend, to have a friend, you have to what? Be a friend. To have a friend, to be a friend. You know, when I look around, the stars, the sun, the moon, the birds, they bring glory to God just by their very existence. Do we do that? Do we as humans, humanity, bring glory to God just by our very existence? So a lot of times we don't. All we need is love. And it starts real easy, just 5 times a day. From the book of Psalm, give thanks to the Lord for his good. His faithfulness is everlasting. One of our grandkids in Monroe, she doesn't have a phone, but she's got an iPad. And she's learned how to use Messenger. So she sends us videos. You know, the other morning, she was waiting, to go to school, sent Amanda and I a video just out of the blue. I love y'all. It's just, what happens when that, huh? You just kind of melt, huh? For your grandkids, out of the blue, just to tell you I love you. I had some kids and parents in early service this morning, and I asked the kids, hey, when's the last time you tell mom and dad you love them? They had to stop and think, huh? When was the last time you told God that you love him? Do you love God? Do you really love God? We're made to receive God's love. We're made to love God back. And we're made to reflect that love, into other people. Now at one time, love your neighbor, that was not, it's in Leviticus, that was not a major commandment. But then Jesus says, when I ask him what's the greatest, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then he says, but there's another one just as important, to love your neighbor. That is just as important. 1 John, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. For everyone who has been born of God knows God. The one who does not love does not know God. And why? Because God is love. The very essence of the character of God is to love. Now, if you look up in Webster's dictionary, definition of love, it has to do with affection or emotions. But the Bible definition of love, especially in the New Testament, is a word, everybody's heard it, what? Agape. That means that you want the well-being for somebody. You want somebody to be blessed, even if you don't feel it in here. Even if you want to pray that prayer, I want hot burning coals poured down on their head. Instead of praying that, you pray, God, bless them. That when we have that kind of love for people, that kind of love resolves conflicts. That kind of love keeps marriages together. That kind of love is just, it's a satisfying kind of love. That kind of love heals. Another song for you. It's Nostalgia Day, people. This one, there was a song written. Anybody know who Burt Bacharach is? Okay, everybody remembers Burt Bacharach. He wrote the song for, I think, Dionne Warwick. She said, nah, it ain't for me. So they got this other lady to sing it. Put a little love in you. Come on, Jackie, be quiet. Do you have a little love in your heart? Do you have enough love to give away to other people? In looking up music and looking up songs, I ran across this. In 1938, Harvard started a study on happiness. On happiness. They started it with a group of freshmen. Then they went out into the neighborhood and got a group of, they said, underprivileged kids out from the neighborhood. And, you know, the study is still going on today. From 1938 to today, you know, there's still some that are alive. You know, and I saw an interview with a professor, you know, that's still kind of in charge of the survey now. And he said, we would never have been able in our wildest dream to predict what makes people happy. You know, he said, what it was? Connections. People connections, relationships. You know, I said, the people that are still alive, they said, you know, getting through depression, I would have never have done it without my friends. One man said, this is how long ago it was, one man said, I would never have made it through World War II without my friends. You know, and I said, I would never have made it through life without my friends. People, connections. What would the world be like without people connections? You know, and they found that people with people connections, they were healthier, they were happier. That being connected to people did something for your soul, but your body also. A couple of friends of mine from Lafayette, a few years ago, they rode their motorcycles up to New York, you know, and came back to the East Coast. You know, they said they stopped in Washington, D.C., you know, these are two guys from Lafayette. They're Cajun. You know, they say, you know, walking around Washington, D.C., they stopped, you know, to cross the street, you know, at a red light. And he said they tried talking to people, you know, it's just like normal. Then everybody looked at them like they were crazy. You know, said they were in a coffee shop waiting in line trying to talk to people. And said one man finally asked them, where y'all from? And said, Louisiana. And says, go back to Louisiana. We don't talk to people here. You know, we avoid talking to people. You know, he said, you know, so they were weird. You know, another study I found, they did this in Boston on people commuting. You know, that takes a train, you know, to back and forth to work every day. You know, it said on the commuting train, subway, whatever it is, people do anything and everything to avoid talking to people. You know, it said they'll be reading a book, they have earbuds in, you know, playing on their phone, you know, anything. So what they did, they got a group of people, said the one purpose they had was to get on the train and start a conversation with people. And they just want to see what happened. Said they thought it would stress people out. But said they ended up finding out that after when people got off, they were actually happier than when they got on. Just by having conversations with people. We are made to take God's love in. We are made to love God in return. And we are made to reflect God's love to the world around us. You know, I'm not done with y'all yet. One more.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Now that thing, it says Coke is a real thing. Coca-Cola. What do we know is a real thing? God, the love of God, that you're creating God's image. You're created to receive the love of God. You're created to love God back. And you're created to reflect that love to the people around us. And if the world, would learn to do that, the world would be a better place. Amen.